My name is Nate Barber. I am the executive pastor here, and it's my honor and privilege. Hello. It's my honor. Already. Devil? You is a liar. That's the blank you want to fill in right there. The enemy is a liar, isn't he? Come on now. You ain't going to get in this sound system today, sucker. Sometimes you got to talk to your enemy, right? I think he just set me up with an object lesson, to be honest with you. So, na-na-na-boo-boo, joke's on you. Okay. We're going to talk about today, blank is a liar. And you fill in the blank. Don't fill in the blank like, you know, my ex-husband is a liar, you know. We don't want anybody getting into bitterness or anger over that blank that you may or may not fill in. It all boils down to this premise and this principle that, frankly, the enemy is a liar. Satan is a liar. He is, as Jesus would tell us, the father of lies. And we'll read that scripture in just a few minutes. But how many of you have ever been duped? You've believed a lie. You've been told something that was too good to be true, and you fell for it. Anybody in here? I can remember there was this... I thought there was this magic pill for losing weight. And there was this infomercial on. I was up late at night, an infomercial about this acai berry pill that you could take. And in, you know, a matter of moments, you would lose X amount of pounds, you know. So here I am. And you could get the bottle of pills for free. Oh, yeah. Somebody is already skeptical. I wish I was that way. Because I got on the phone, I got on the internet, and I typed my little, you know, MasterCard number in there for shipping. Because the bills were free, but you got to pay for the shipping. Right? Anybody ever fell for that? Okay, yeah. Y'all are smarter than me. I fell for this. And you know what happened? I got the free pills. I took the pills. Nothing changed. I didn't lose any weight. Like, I didn't pop two pills and automatically lose 5 pounds. It didn't work that way. It didn't do what it claimed to do. And then the next month, I saw a charge on my credit card for X amount of dollars. I forget what it was, maybe $50, maybe $100. And I was like, what is this about? I didn't do this. And you know, in the fine print of the website, they said they were going to auto ship you some more pills the next month. But those pills wouldn't be free. And by you putting your credit card number in and clicking the little button, you're going to get more pills and you're going to pay for them. A lifetime supply of pills of you paying for them over and over and over until you get wise, until you cancel, until you call the people and say, don't let them charge my credit card anymore. I have been duped before, and it doesn't feel good, does it? There is a great swindler out there. There's a great hustler out there who would dare to get you to believe something that isn't true in order to wreck your life. Do you know that that's Satan's mission for you today? God has life everlasting, life abundant. Jesus himself said the thief's MO, his mode of operation, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're going to believe that, what Jesus said is true, that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy, we have to understand how he operates in order to avoid those tactics whereby he would use to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. One of his main tactics is lies, because he is a liar and the father of lies. All right, my thing is acting up. But turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. This will be our text today. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture today, but this is where it really boils down to. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4, and we'll read this in the New King James. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen. Don't take my word for it. Don't take the screen's word for it. You have to know the word of God for yourself. Okay, there's a lot of preachers out there. There's a lot of theologians. A lot of statisticians out there that would get you to believe what they would have you believe. But you have no business believing what we say unless it's backed by the word of God. I will say it again. Thank you, Claudia. You have no business believing what we say unless it is backed by the word of God. All right. Romans chapter 3, Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Will their not believing make God's faithfulness untrue? Will the fact that I believe or don't believe affect who God is? And the answer laid bare in the scripture, certainly not. Indeed, listen to this, let God be true, but every man a liar. Have you heard that phrase before? Let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. That phrase, let God be true and every man a liar, is given in response to that question in Romans 3:3. Paul was stating that God and his promises are always true, even if people don't believe him. The atheist says, I don't believe in God. And I would say, that's okay. He believes in you. But because they don't believe in God, does it mean that God does not exist? Their belief does not determine God's existence. Your belief does not determine whether or not something is true. Now, that's something that society and culture has gotten really mixed up. We believe, we've been taught that truth is relative. It's based on a matter of perception. Like that, well, that's, and New Agers would have you say, well, that's your truth. That's your truth. Believe whatever you want to believe. That's your truth. Okay? You know, your truth may be you like chocolate ice cream. And that's your truth. And that's true for you, that chocolate ice cream is the best ice cream there ever is, ever was, ever will be. And I would say, I disagree. I think cookies and cream is the best ice cream there ever was, there ever is, or there ever will be. And I got a witness in the house. But this is an example that truth is subjective. It's subject to your interpretation, subject to your perception, your ideals, your taste buds in this case. But that doesn't apply to things of the Bible, of Scripture. There is, God's word is absolute truth. Absolute truth. And so the problem is when we apply this perception that truth is relative to the Scripture, then we get out of the Scripture what we pick and choose based on our preference. Therefore, one can be in a certain denomination and can say, well, I don't know whether or not it is the will of God for me to be healed from cancer. Based on the fact that I have cancer, I am experiencing sickness, I'm experiencing disease, therefore, maybe it is God's will that I have this cancer and that he gave it to me. So we're basing truth, our truth, on perception, what I'm dealing with, circumstance, my situation, versus the word of God, which says healing belongs to you if you're a believer. That's absolute truth. And we've gotten it mixed up, facts and truth. The fact may be that your diagnosis is cancer. Kelly, can I get a witness in here? The fact may be that your diagnosis was you had cancer. But what's the truth you believe? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Because I am forgiven, I'm free, I've got the victory. Because I'm loved, I'm covered by the blood. However the song went. Sorry, I'm butchering it. It's the truth is, there's a higher truth than your facts. So I'm trying to tell you today that there are lies all around you. They may not be touting lose weight with a magic pill, but they may be, and they may be disguised with a little bit of truth, a little hint of something that you might buy into. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Let's read some more scripture. Let God be true, every man a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Now here's the deal. We've got Pinocchio on the screen. You recognize him, right? Now, Pinocchio, the wooden puppet, was a real boy. Wanted to be a real boy. The blue fairy put a curse on him in the sense that whenever he tells a lie, what happens? His nose grows. All right. So in this case, it's easy to spot a liar, right? Like, it's really easy. You can't be deceived when somebody says a lie. It's, you know, the little devil on your shoulder, he's whispering a lie. And what happens if he whispers a lie? You look over and his nose is like that long. That don't sound true. But what happens is the enemy is a master of deception. One scripture in Corinthians says that he disguises himself as an angel of light to get you to buy into his deception, his lies. It's easy to recognize a lie when a nose grows. There was a show in that came on around 2009 on Fox called Lie to Me. Did anybody ever see that? It was like ran from 2009 to 2011. It was about this, the world's leading deception researcher, Dr. Cal Lightman. And he, in this show, it was just a fascinating show. He was a master of studying facial expressions, body language, tone of voice, in order to determine when a person is lying and when a person is telling the truth and why. And that, in essence, would help law enforcement, government agencies determine the truth. So it was beyond just, you know, lie detector test. It was the sense that he and his team of researchers had gotten so adept at studying people's facial expressions, even down to micro expressions. I don't even know if this is a real thing. That's TV. It could be. I don't know. Actually, the World Wide Web, the internet, would tell you that there are ways to determine, based on somebody's facial expressions, whether they're lying to you. For instance, if a person is talking to you and they look up and to the left, they are recalling memory. Okay, they're trying to remember, okay, what did I have for dinner last night? Well, that was, no, okay. But if you look up and to the right, then it taps into imagination. So it could be deception. It could be a lie. Well, I had chicken wings for dinner last night. Well, you don't know whether that could be true or not because I love chicken wings. The fact is that I did not have chicken wings for dinner last night. I had a cheeseburger. So the thing is, this person, Dr. Cal Lightman, his team of researchers, they had gotten so proficient at determining whether people were lying because they studied their facial expressions. Many of us, we have no idea when the enemy's lying to us. We expect his nose to grow, but instead we need to be looking for some micro expressions. We need to be, and it's not to the extent that you have to know every deception that he's going to throw at you. Because the issue is, the answer is, if you know the truth, then you can recognize a lie. So instead of studying all of the lies that he could or could not throw at you, you just become innately familiar with the truth. And that's how you ward off the lies. Now, as I said before, the enemy, he's a master of lies. Jesus said he's the father of lies. John 8:44, let's read this in the Bible. It says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." Isn't that interesting? There is no truth in him. Why is it, if the scripture tells us that there is no truth in the enemy, why is it that we would believe anything that he says? I mean, it's clear. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar. He's been a liar since the beginning of time. Deception. The problem with deception is it's rarely obviously false, right? If it were, it would not be deception. It would just be a flat-out lie. The very nature of deception is that it looks like truth, and it's usually partly mixed with truth. If he can mix just enough truth with it, get you to believe it, he's blinded you to the real truth. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 3, it says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You remember the story in creation. Well, let's go back and read it. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Grayson, you'll appreciate this. You could quote it probably. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say, you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Now listen to this. The first thing he says, did God really say? What is he challenging? Challenging your knowledge of God's word. If Eve really knew, if Eve truly knew, if Eve was intimately familiar with God's word to the point that she believed it, it was settled in her heart, that she knew exactly what he said, this would not even be an issue for her. Did God really say? And so even in that moment, she begins questioning, well, did he really say? Maybe he said, did he? Did he really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Well, let's hear her answer. Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So what happens here? Was Eve familiar with the word of God? Did she know the word? Okay, well, she knew a little bit of the word, didn't she? She added something to this. Touch it. God didn't say you can't touch it. In fact, they were to tend every tree in the garden. You can't tend a tree without touching it. She said God told them you must not eat from it or touch it. If you do, you will die. We'll look at the serpent's challenge to this. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. Now that's an outright challenge to what God had told them, is it not? Remember, there is no truth in him. And he goes on to explain, okay, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So then in his cunning, he's like, you know, there's something good in this for you if you eat this. And right there, I mean, he's challenging her knowledge of the word, and not only the knowledge of the word, but the knowledge of who God made her to be. Wasn't she already like God, Martha? Wasn't she made in his image? And yet the enemy says, you will be like God if you do this thing. Well, she should have said, na 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 boo boo, I'm already like God. Joke's on you. Verse 6, the woman was convinced. She got deceived. She got duped by the cunning and crafty ways of the enemy. Have you ever fallen prey to his traps? We look at this story of Adam and Eve and we think, man, they are such screw ups and they didn't know, blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, if I was Adam, I wouldn't let that happen. I would have been watching out for my little lady, you know. If I was Eve, I would have made that choice. How many choices have you made based on the deception of the enemy? What he's told you that's contrary to the truth and yet you believed it. You will be like God. If she was convinced of the word, she would never have been convinced of the deception. She saw that the tree was beautiful, its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her. Well, we tend to glance over that, don't we? Who was with her. Was he there? Was he looking? Was he like maybe off to the side, like, what's happening over there? Why is she talking to that snake? What's that snake got that I don't got? She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. We put a lot more blame on Eve than we need to, don't we? At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And there's the shame piece, Justin, as you were talking about earlier. And you believe a lie, you fall victim to a lie, you act on that lie, and then there's shame. He's crafty, he's cunning, he's coming to challenge your knowledge of the word, your knowledge of the truth. He's coming to challenge your identity. That's the very thing he did with Jesus in the wilderness, is it not? Matthew chapter 4, we don't have this scripture and on the screens per se. But Matthew chapter 4 says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And his first temptation, the enemy comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, really challenging who he thinks he is, who he believes he is, challenging his very identity. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread and then gobble them up, basically. And what does Jesus say? Oh, that sounds good. I see these stones. Kind of looks like a hamburger or a hot dog to me. The old cartoons. People wasting away on the island, and they look at each other and like, you look like a hot dog. You look like a hamburger. I'm so hungry. Maybe he saw a mirage. No, he didn't. He knew the word. He is the word. He tapped into what was on the inside of him, and out of him came the word of God. Out of him came the truth, because he is the truth. He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He said, I don't need this. I'm confident in who I am. He could have very well said, I am the bread of life. Back up. Come at me, bro. Right? Tell me to make these stones bread. I am bread. That would have made for a much like more gangsta scene right there. I am bread. Back off. But you know what? Sometimes we got to have that attitude with the enemy. You got to be confident in who you are, who God's made you to be. But instead, we look a lot more like Eve than we look like Jesus. That does look nice and shiny. Maybe it's tasty. Maybe my eyes will be up. Yeah, I could be like God. Maybe I could be like God. She's forgotten. Like this is three chapters in. Seven days. I don't know the timeline. But the fact is, like, you just got created in the image of God. How long does it take you to forget this thing? And yet she's forgotten who she is. And who God's made her to be. I mean, I don't know if creation has changed that much, to be honest with you, because what happens, you come in on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or you open your Bible and you see for a moment, oh, this is who I am, and you start to believe it a little bit, and then you close the thing, or you walk out of service after hearing a message about lies, and then you walk right into a lie. And you walk away. The scripture even talks about this. Walking away because you're a forgetful hearer of the word. And you've forgotten. Who am I? We've got spiritual amnesia. And it can happen in a moment. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to his protege. Listen to this, verse 1. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That's a message for the church today. For a time is coming. Here's a caution. For time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Verse 4, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. I think that's a fair caution. I think that's a fair warning that the time has coming and probably now is when people no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. We want people to tell us what we want to hear. We'll go to a church where the Bible is preached, and yet it wasn't our truth. And so we'll walk out of that church, been there 5, 10 years, one sermon I didn't necessarily agree with, I'm walking out the door, I'm going to find me another church that will tell me exactly what I want to hear. Watch out. No longer listening to sound and wholesome teaching. They follow their own desires, look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. So the enemy doesn't have to look very far to deceive someone when people are looking for deception. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to go where people believe like I believe. But if your belief isn't founded on the absolute truth of the Word of God, then you will walk right into the doors of deception. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Reminded of a story, famous preacher and author Norval Hayes. Forget the whole details, but the issue that he was facing at this present time in his life was that his bank account was in the red, meaning not only did he have a zero balance, but he owed people money. Like, lots of money in the red. His finance person comes up to him and says, look at this, you know, we can't spend any money today because we owe this amount of money. He takes the check ledger, the bank ledger, and he looks at it, goes into his office, and then he starts screaming, you're a lie! You're a lie, you're a lie, you're a lie, you're a lie. What is he doing? I'm sure the guys in the other room thought, what is he doing? He done lost his mind. Who is he talking to? He must be on a phone call. Well, not on a phone call. He's talking to his bank ledger. He's talking to the lack represented by the red numbers in his bank ledger. You're a lie. You're a lie. You're a lie. Why can he say that with such conviction? Is he trying to convince himself of the truth? No, he already knows the truth. And he knows that the fact is, these numbers may be in the red, but the truth is, I have everything I need for life and godliness. All my needs are supplied by Christ Jesus. There's a higher truth than what you presently see. And so you can say with confidence, that's not true. This is a lie. Somebody's opening their wallet right now. You're a lie. Go ahead. I won't stop you. You're a lie. Pulling up your bank balance on your app. Ah, you're lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Go ahead. I'm going to stop you. A number of years ago, a couple years ago, I think it's been closer than I even realized, I was dealing with like incredible back pain. And those of you who were here at that time knew that was like just, they had, prescribed me to take these injections. And I go for 3 different injections. I'd been to the chiropractor. I'd been to the medical doctor. They put me on these pills and like the hard stuff, the good stuff. Yeah, the good stuff. And taking the pills and not feeling myself, and then those pills don't get strong enough, and so you got to take the other pills, and before long you're like, I need the pills to function. Ah. But you're not really functioning, you're just masking the pain. And then you go for the injection, and the injection makes you feel okay. The first one is all right. You get through the next day. The second one's okay. The third one, after the third injection that's supposed to make you better, I felt worse. Ended up going to the emergency room after the injection. Like, doubled over in pain, couldn't move kind of deal. So they say, well, now you need surgery. These things, this is the, you know, natural progression. You got to do this, this, and this. The pills didn't work. The injections didn't work. Now go do the surgery, and we'll snip, snip, and tie stuff together and make that work. So I am just like, I am believing all I know how to believe. I'm watching Brother Hagin on YouTube and like falling asleep to God's medicine in my ears. And like, I realized I was just trying to convince myself of the truth because my symptoms were screaming a lot louder than the truth that I thought I believed. And so what was happening is that deception was growing in me, growing and growing and growing until I had just had enough and I'm here in the office and I thought I was alone. But I'm alone here at work and I'm in the back hall doing something and I just, you know, a twinge of pain hits me and I just scream out, "No! You're a lie!" I mean, I'm just like letting the devil have it and talking to this back pain. And then I hear a voice in the other hall, "Nate? Is that you? Are you okay?" It's Terry. She had come into work that day. And it's like, what is Norval Hayes doing over there? But like, and you know what? I canceled the surgery. Didn't have the surgery. And wasn't like a supernatural, miraculous, hands laid on me, laid out on the floor, and then I'm up and I'm healed. Over time, it got better. I just trusted God. And I refuse to believe the deception that the enemy tried to sell me. The fact was I was in pain. But pain is a liar. Sickness is a liar. Deception is a liar. And I chose to believe the truth of God's word. No matter what it looked like, no matter what my situation told me, I chose to believe the word of God. Because it's a higher truth. It's absolute truth. If I thought truth was relative, then I would say, well, I must have to learn something from this pain. God, what are you trying to teach me? Oh! But no, there's a higher truth. There is God's truth. It's greater than the facts. He's a liar. Don't believe his lies. What are some of his lies? Weakness. Weakness is a liar. The book of Joel says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Isaiah says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. You feeling weak? Oh, I'm so tired. I feel so weak right now. You're a lie. Weakness, you're a liar. I'm not weak, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Tori comes back from college, he tells us. He feels defeated. Tori, failure is a lie, man. Failure is a liar. And what happened, he gets in the den or his bedroom and he breaks out his guitar and what does he do? He starts singing the truth of God's word. Victory is mine. I don't feel very victorious. But Tori knew feelings is a liar. Feelings are a liar. And so what did he do? He started to rejoice in the Lord and remind himself of the truth of God's word. Victory is mine. That makes me a winner because of what Jesus did. I am a winner. I may have come home and because I believe maybe people aren't for me anymore, which that's a lie. There's grace. People who backed you, they're not backing out on you. They still got your back, man. Failure's a liar. Anxiety is a liar. Depression is a liar. Worry. Worry, 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 worry. Worry is a liar. Sin is a liar. Temptation is a liar. You don't have to give in to that stuff. You don't have to give in to that. The devil may tell you you need it. It'll make you feel better. It may make you feel good. You know, this is what you got to do right now. No, you're a lie. Quit that lying to me. Would you put up with somebody in your immediate family, your spouse, your kids, whoever, lying to you? Would you put up with that? Or would you call it out? You're going to call it out, ain't you? If you don't call it out, you stupid. Can I say that? Stupidity is a liar. You're not stupid. You're smart. You've got the wisdom. You've got the mind of Christ. Amen. Shouldn't call y'all stupid. But you're not, because you call out a lie, don't you? If you call it out in your children, man, we tell our kids, tell us the truth. Always tell us the truth. Always tell us the truth. Even if you did something wrong, even if you got in trouble at school, if you tell us the truth, you're not going to get in as much trouble at home. But you tell me a lie, oh, it's going to rain down. Grace and mercy is what I meant. It's going to rain down. She said, that's a lie. You tell me the truth, I respect that. But I'm going to call out a lie. And then, they try to pull one over on you. But I have learned the art of the micro expression. It really doesn't take much when you're dealing with kids to tell whether they're lying. And then they'll tell your spouse the same lie they just told you, thinking that if they tell the different person, it'll make it true. It doesn't work that way. But you'll call out a liar, won't you? I hope you will. I hope you say, that doesn't sound right. If it's somebody in your family, maybe you don't have to be harsh or rude or whatever, but maybe you can. Maybe that's what they need. Tell them the truth. This is a lie. Don't believe the lie. You're buying into a lie. And some people in your world who have been believing lies, you need to remind them of the truth. Say, hey, and just like Tori said, that's not who you are. They may not want to hear it in that moment. That's not who you are. That's not who God made you to be. Let me remind you, you are victorious in Christ. You have the joy of the Lord. Hey, snap out of this pity party. Come on up out of this wallowing. That's not who you are. Depression is a lie. Worry is a lie. This feeling that you're facing right now, it's a lie. So you tell them. You tell them that's a lie. You have no business believing that. And then if they don't know the truth, you tell them the truth. Let's look together. This is what God's word says about this. Don't believe it just because I said it. Let's look together. This is what the word of God says. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. He took the punishment for my pain. He took the stripes for my sickness. He took it upon himself. He took the stripes on his back so I wouldn't have to have pain in mine. And you tell yourself the truth. And you believe the truth so much that you're convinced of the truth. And if you know the truth, if you're intimate revelation knowledge of the truth, it brings freedom. What did he say? John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was saying that when we become thoroughly acquainted with the truth of God's word, because he said in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. When we become thoroughly acquainted with the word of God, we can understand and know that the truth will make us free. We can be delivered from all the bondage, all the chains of the enemy, because we know that all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us. But we can't be free without revelation knowledge of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, when anything contradicts the word of God, or any promise made to us in God's word, we need to reckon God to be true and that person or that thing to be lying. We need to believe God's word, what God's word says about our prosperity is true, instead of what our checkbooks say. We need to believe that we're healed by his stripes instead of believing what the x-rays show. In every aspect of our lives, we need to believe God's word above what we see or what we hear. In every aspect of our lives, we believe God's word above what we see and what we hear. And that's the ticket to freedom, guys. That's the ticket. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Just truth, just absolute truth, will not free you unless you know it. Get in the word. If you need help getting in the word, let us know. If you need to know what the truth is about your situation, find somebody, ask a neighbor. We encourage each other in the Lord. You need the God in the person down the road just as much as I need the God in you. There are people here who can disciple you and train you up in the word and knowing how to read the Bible and how to get everything out of it for all it's worth. And we'll help you. You don't have to believe a lie. You don't have to be duped. You don't have to be deceived. Don't let them sell you a bottle of pills. They don't work. And they'll keep charging you your credit card. Would you stand with me as we pray?